This is Startup Nation Radio, the show to learn about how to start and grow your own business.
You got to follow your own compass. You got to execute on what you really believe in.
Well, the principles of entrepreneurship, I think, are universal. I just got off a plane from India yesterday.
Business in India? Are you kidding me?
Entrepreneurs benefit from learning from each other.
Hey, Rich, you're calling in from The Nation. What do you have for us this week?
Well, first of all, The Nation is alive and well. Entrepreneurs are jamming it.
The time is now.
The real question is, do you have the confidence, the resources, and the support?
It's always a good time to get into business.
It's time for Startup Nation with Jeff Sloan.
All right, it is time for Startup Nation Radio. This is the show for you to learn about how to start and grow your own business. Don't know what business idea to pursue? Think you have to come up with a high-tech, revolutionary business idea in order to make it? Well, think again. Today we're going to hear about wacky business ideas that are killing it. They made it, you can too. Stick with us to learn how on this edition of Startup Nation Radio.
You're listening to Startup Nation Radio on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
All right, welcome to this edition of Startup Nation Radio. Today we're going to hear all about wacky business ideas that are making it big. So if you think you've got to come up with some high-tech idea or the next revolutionary business concept in order to make it in business, well, think again. We're going to hear how people have come up with some crazy ideas, but doing great business. And joined today by my brother, Rich. It's the Sloan Brothers on Startup Nation Radio. Rich.
Great to be on the show, Jeff.
Great to have you. Great to have you. Well, listen,
you've always been a fountain of wacky business ideas.
How did I know you were going to go there? How do I tee you up for these things? I make it way too easy.
I've got a lot of examples to share, if you'd like.
Well, I'm going to let you do that in just one second. But first, I want to call out to our sponsors, Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial, great sponsors of Startup Nation Radio. Pappas Financial has been a trusted advisor to business owners for over 40 years. They guide entrepreneurs on strategies that protect their businesses and personal assets, implement company benefit solutions, and provide a roadmap for business owners to ultimately transfer their hard-earned gains to their estate. As Norm Pappas says, get set for life. To help you do just that, get Pappas Financial on your team. Reach out to them at 248-539-8292 and tell them Jeff and the Startup Nation team sent you. So, Rich, I don't know if I should hand it over to you or not.
Well, you know, the thing about wacky business ideas is that you find yourself doing things that are really unusual, but sometimes wacky ideas work. Sometimes wacky ideas are just wacky, and you have to use the F word, failure.
We hate the F word on radio, but we hate that F word at Startup Nation. No failure.
That's right. But I remember back in the day, one of the things that we thought that we could come up with was coffee that didn't stain your teeth. Do you remember? We called it coffee clear.
I do. Hey, that's a great idea, actually.
It's a great idea. Yeah. It was supposed to be just absolutely transparent.
Well,
coffee with none of the blackness, but we didn't realize that the blackness is exactly intertwined with the flavors and the qualities of the coffee.
Right.
So that was a non-starter.
Right. Remember, we couldn't take the color out of the coffee and have it still be coffee.
But there was the DNA charms, Jeff.
The DNA charm. I love that idea still today.
Explain to our audience.
Well, the DNA charm was an idea that we came up with that was designed to allow a user to order a DNA kit. It comes, you do the swab of the cheek, you send it back in, they get a DNA sample, and then they put it into a little vial, and it could be the DNA of your spouse or a loved one or a kid or whatever, and so you've always got that charm with you, and that was a cool idea. We never pursued that one, but it was a wacky idea. But here's the point. Colorful, wacky ideas are one thing. Making them work is what it's all about when it comes to business, when it comes to making it work for you. So it's one thing to have the ideas. It's another to put them to work and create great business out of them. And so that's what we're going to focus on today, is not just what the ideas are, but how you actually turn them into business and make it work for you. We're going to get to that in a second. Before we do, Rich, we've got a special guest in studio. Zach is a 9-year-old aspiring entrepreneur who's got a great idea. Zach, welcome to Startup Nation Radio. You're going to tell us about your business idea.
Well, this is me and my friend are doing a mining business where we're going to start out with a iron axe, and then we're going to chop down some trees. We don't know where we're going to do it yet, but when we do, we are going to get the resources, and then we're going to start out, and we're just going to keep on going.
And what are you going to mine for, Zach?
Like rare valuables and coal and oil. And then we're going to sell the rare valuables for money, and we're going to use that money to like expand our business and use the extras to give to charity and all the extras.
Amazing.
To like our workers.
Rich, this guy's onto something. I think he's onto something better than clear coffee and DNA charms, I'll tell you that.
He's
going after the diamonds and jewels and rare gems that, you know, that works.
That does work, and it sounds like Zach has already got the beginnings of a business plan that he's sharing with us. He knows exactly what he wants to do. Zach, where did you get this idea?
Well, me and my friend, we started it. He's like, I want to start a business. I'm like, okay, what is it? And they told me all about it. I'm like, oh, okay.
So you guys are partners. You didn't take the idea, did you?
No.
Yeah, so you guys are partners in this business.
Yeah. Zach, did you negotiate 51% of the deal?
I don't remember exactly.
All right, so Zach, let me ask you this. So you're going to get these, so it's important in business. So you're going to get these things out of the ground. You're going to get your product by digging for it with this pickaxe that you guys are going to use. But who's your customer going to be?
Well, we're going to have stores all over, and then we're going to, like, if people are going to buy the jewelry, then they're going to send it to the main headquarters, and then we're going to use that to, like, expand, and then we're going to make, like, buildings all around our mine.
Yep.
And then we're going to use, like a card where, like, that's the only way you can get in.
Let me ask you this. Why did you want to start a business?
Well, because I think that maybe if you're, like, I think the boss, you think you get more, but really you only get a little bit more. And
if you're the boss?
Yeah.
So you wanted to be the boss. You wanted to have your own business.
Yeah, but then we already were planning on starting a few businesses, but then he's like, I want to start another business, but just screw all the other ideas. And then just start a mining business, because you might get more money then.
You know, that just makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it, Rich? I mean, screw all the other ideas and get right to the gems and jewels and diamonds. Right, Rich?
Absolutely. Go for it. I love about Zach? He is fearless. He is going after it, and there's nothing stopping him. Right, Zach? You're going to make this happen, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know what? He is going to make it happen. We're going to check in with you, Zach. We want you to be a regular guest on Startup Nation Radio, so from time to time, we'll ask you to come back. We want to know how this mining business is coming together, all right?
Okay.
All right, right on. Listen, Rich, entrepreneurship is alive and well in America. We always support it. We always say start them young, the lemonade stand, right?
That's right.
Well, Zach skipped right over the lemonade stand and went to diamonds. Hey, can't beat that. He's fearless. We love it on Startup Nation Radio. When we get back, we're going to learn how other people are taking wacky business ideas and killing it with them. So stay tuned so you can learn how to do it too on Startup Nation Radio.
You're listening to Startup Nation Radio on News Talk 760 WJR. Here's Jeff Sloan.
All right, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. Rich, entrepreneurship is alive and well in America, starting them young these days.
That's right, starting them young. And I love that Zach, who we talked to just prior to the commercial break, was just leaning in and all over his business. You could tell he's thinking about it. He's obsessed with it, and he's really confident.
He is indeed. I actually got a little concerned because as he walked out, he said, so what am I on next?
That's great. It's funny. Sometimes when you have that innocence, for lack of a better term, and it doesn't just come at the 9-year-old age. I mean, you and I were in our 20s when we were doing some of our first business deals, and we just didn't know how difficult it would be. And therefore, we succeeded because we tried. And I saw a funny T-shirt recently. It said, confidence is that feeling you have right before you fully understand the situation.
I love that. And, you know, it's really true. Ignorance is bliss, and that can be in a very positive way. You know, I mean, we get so beaten down. People all around us say, hey, you can't do that, or, you know, someone else thought of that idea, or that's already been done, or that's impossible. How many times do we hear that?
That's right. And that should not be something that you let get in the way of pursuing your great idea, which, Jeff, I'm sure our next guest can talk to us a lot about.
And we're going to get into that right away. First, I want to recognize Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial as great sponsors of Startup Nation Radio. Check them out. All right. Tamara Manasoff, welcome to Startup Nation Radio. You're going to help us understand how, if you have an idea or an invention, how you can turn it into a great business. Tamara, welcome to the show.
for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. So,
Tamara Jeff is the author, among other things, of The Mom Inventor's Handbook. So for those of you who are a mom with a great idea, or if you kind of want to look over the shoulder of a mom and you're a guy and you have a great idea, I think Tamara is going to be able to give us maybe a little bit of a prescription here on what to do with that great idea.
Indeed. So, Tamara, tell us, I mean, what are some of the, you know, the things right away? Let's say someone comes up with a great idea for whatever it may be, a next great gadget, and they want to bring it to market. What are some key things they need to start thinking about right away as first steps?
Well, first of all, let me just say that the second edition, which just came out, is for absolutely anyone who has a product idea. So not just moms, but really, it's the title is the same from 10 years ago when I was a new mom struggling to bring my own products to market. And now, you know, the whole world has changed. And it's actually pretty exciting because I think that the opportunities today are better than before. And the first step, really what I'm seeing over the last decade, is the biggest mistake that inventors make, and including me when I started out, is you get so excited about your idea and you just get this laser focus on bringing it to market that oftentimes we jump into the fun part, which is the prototyping, manufacturing, and distributing, and don't stop to think about the market research side. And experts always say, do your market research, but they don't really explain how.
Tamara, that is huge. The reality is, and you may have experienced this as well, but so many inventors do, shoestring budget would be the name of the amount of money that any typical inventor might have. With a shoestring budget, how do you do the market research?
Well, I tell you exactly how to do it. And first, there are two types of research that you need to get. The first one is the big picture data, and that's really understanding your market, the size of your market, and who are these people that you're going to be selling to. And you can get that data in a variety of ways. First, I think that one of the best places is going to your trade industry association that's associated with your product type, like a housewares product or a pet product. You go to a pet association or child product. You go to a juvenile product association. And they often have reports with great statistics, and that's a good starting point with regards to what the scope of the land looks like in terms of the big picture data. You can also get census data. And one of the things that entrepreneurs often don't know is that going to public companies that sell similar type items and reading their investor reports, their 10K reports, is like golden. Because in there, not only do they have experts who are putting together these reports and have to talk about the big picture data, but they're oftentimes really forecasting trends going forward. So one of the things I just learned is about the garden industry is just booming. And I thought, gosh, wow, I hadn't really thought about that. More baby boomers are out there, you know, gardening. So these are the types of the big picture data that you want to find out. But the problem is inventors oftentimes, they stop right there. They're like, oh, well, you know, I'm creating a pet product. And there are 82.5 million homes with a pet.
Right.
And there are 56 million of those are dogs, and mine is a dog item. Well, that's good enough for me if I get a tiny percentage of that, and then they don't think about market research any further. The next step is to really hone in and get specific data. And that's when you're really wanting to figure out, okay, who's going to buy this? What do they honestly think about my product? And you do that through informal focus groups. You do that through, and this is all, you know, without having to pay any money. You can do surveys, very little money, and you find out the specific information, like, would you buy this? If not, why not?
Now, let's
I wanted to go back too, Rich. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say, let's talk about focus groups, because focus group who might be your brother and your mother and your best friend, that can be some very biased information, so you have to do that the right way, right?
Yeah.
Tamara?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because I hear that so often. Well, my mom loves it. My sisters want it. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, that's really nice, but they love you.
I was just going to say what they really mean to say is they love you. Yeah.
Yeah, they love you. So, of course, they're going to support you. So I suggest that you do is you ask a friend to host an informal focus group for you and invite 10 people that you don't know.
That's the reason
why you want to do it at a friend's house is because if you have people in your own home or you've invited them, they are a guest in your home. So they're not going to feel comfortable telling you that they don't like your idea. or that they wouldn't buy it.
Right.
So be sure and set it up so you're in a group of people who do not know you, and then you set the stage and you say, look, this is a really big investment for me and it's scary and I need to know the truth and I need to know if this is something that you would buy. And if not, why not? Or what would you change? And get that very concrete data back and be willing to listen. I think when we're entrepreneurs and we're so focused on our products, we put our earmuffs and our blinders on because we don't want to hear any negative comments.
Yeah.
And you know, I heard what you said earlier about it's hard because, you know, people are like, oh, you know, what do you think you're doing? And you get a lot of negative comments, but this is different. When you're doing a focus group, you really need to listen. And
then
I always tell people, these are the gifts that people are giving you, this kind of feedback.
Now, Jeff, we've probably seen literally thousands of inventions come across our desk over the course of our career commercializing technology. And one of the most prickly things that has to do with inventors and inventions is, how do I get comfortable sharing my idea with someone and not feeling like I'm going to get ripped off?
That's a good point, Rich. Yeah.
Do you have a solution for that tomorrow or a recommendation?
Right. So when you're getting feedback, one of the things you can do when you're first starting out, there are a couple of different things that I like to do. And one is that you don't have to describe your invention. Like when you're doing you're reaching out and you're doing surveys, you can focus on the problem that your product solves. And you can say things like, you know, have you ever, you know, you can jump onto blogs, for example, and let's say it's a kitchen gadget and you hear people talking about, you know, kitchen gadgets, and you say, you know, I'm trying to find a solution to this problem. How have you dealt with that? And post things out there and see what people come back and say. There's a lot. You can type in your product type plus blogs in Google, and it will bring up people blogging about your, you know, around your product type. It may not be exact, but you can really get in and start talking to people. One of my most favorite things is to focus on complaints. So if you go into Google and you type in complaints plus your product type, when people are complaining, it's like music to my ears.
Yes, really cool.
Because that spells opportunity.
Absolutely. So even let's say you hear everybody complaining and your product isn't, you know, first of all, you find out, wow, yes, my product solves that problem. This is hot. I'm so excited. Or you can listen and realize, wow, there are a whole bunch of opportunities here that I didn't even realize.
Yep.
And so type in complaints plus your product idea. You cannot believe what will pop up. It is so exciting.
Tomorrow, I got to stop you right there and just tell you one quick thing. We always say in Startup Nation Radio that we want to bring people really good, usable, useful information, tangible information that they can put to work to get their business off the ground, their great idea to market, whatever it may be. And I have to tell you, I've got to just say to you at this point in the interview, you are delivering a home run. I'm taking notes. I'm actually learning some great tricks of the trade. Wow, what a great guest. Kudos to Bree, our producer, for finding you and having you on the air. And thank you so much for being on and giving us this great advice. We've got a couple more minutes in this segment. Then I'd love to actually bring you over, if you can stick with us, into the next segment as well and keep rolling here. Quick question for you on the surveys. You mentioned you also do surveys. Are you talking about, in addition to the focus groups, online surveys?
Yes, I use SurveyMonkey.
SurveyMonkey, yeah, that's the, yep.
Yeah, it's great because you can analyze your data and really understand, you know, the percentages of their, you know, 80% answered this way or that way, and it brings clarity to what you're trying to find out.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, can you hold? Can you stick with us for a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
Great. We're going to bring you back after this break on Startup Nation Radio. For those of you listening, this is your opportunity to learn. If you've got an idea, frankly, wacky or not, fun or not, whatever it may be, an idea for a business, this is your opportunity to learn how to make it work for you. We're going to hear more from Tamara. We're also going to hear from a couple of people who put their wacky business ideas to work and are killing it. So stick with us on Startup Nation Radio so you can learn how to get a piece of the action yourself.
It's Startup Nation on WJR.
Easy to follow instructions on achieving your dream.
By taking action now.
Here's Jeff Sloan.
All right, it's time to take action now. We're helping you do just that on Startup Nation Radio. I don't want to waste a second. Rich, back on the air, we're talking with Tamara Monosoff. Wow, great stuff. I'm taking notes, Tamara. That's not easy to get me to take notes, but Man, I'm into it. It's great.
Jeff was never a good student tomorrow, so you might want to check his notes at the other end of this hour.
Well, I'm loving it. I've got to tell you, during the break, I got a text from a listener who said he wanted a reference on the guest and said, how do you spell her name? And he said, I'm hanging on every word. So there you go. Can't beat that.
Wonderful.
Can't beat that. That is wonderful. If people want to learn more about you, I guess this is an appropriate time to do that. How do they learn about you and find your book and how do they contact you if need be and be able to buy your book?
First of all, they go to tamaramonosoff.com. I've dedicated my time now to mentoring, offering mentoring classes. I also have free webinars. It's all about helping really inform the inventors and lift them up through the process, because I know I wanted a roadmap myself when I started out, and you know, that's why I want to provide that to others. Also, of course, the book is available on Amazon.
Okay, really cool. Let me help you out a little bit there just to make sure that everyone can find you. Tamara Monosoff, T as in Tom, A-M-A-R-A, M as in Mary, O-N-O-S as in Sam, O-F as in Frank, F as in Frank. Did I do that right? .com.
Perfect.
All right, right on. So that's how, for anybody else taking notes, there you go. All right, let's get right back into it. So I've done my market research. I've done my Survey Monkey. I've done my focus studies. Now I find out I've got a good idea. You know, I've had to tweak it a little bit here and there based on what I learned from the focus studies and the surveys and so on, and I feel confident now. I've really got a handle on it. Now what?
Okay. So now an obvious step would be to jump into how do I create this thing, and that makes sense. But one of the things that I really like to wrap my brain around, and I recommend that others do also, is to estimate how much this is going to cost to make before you make it. And people are like, well, wait, that's like the chicken and the egg. How do I do that? It's important to get on to the internet, and Alibaba is a great resource. Go and find a product that is similar to yours. And when you look at that pricing that they have, it's wholesale pricing, okay? That is a great way to estimate how much your production costs are going to be.
And when you see a wholesale price, what should you assume your product
right.
cost would be relative to the wholesale price?
Okay, so when you're thinking about, okay, you see the wholesale price, you're thinking, okay, that's going to be how much my production cost is going to be. Your production cost should be 1/5 of your retail price. So if you want to make sure that you're working backwards, so if you're figuring out that you see that your production costs are $2 and your retail price is going to be $20, you're going to work backwards, right? And you're going to need to, the retailer's going to want to make 50% margin. So they're going to want to get it for $10. And then so you've got $10, your production cost is $2. The rest is left over for you for the, you know, running your business. So you've got to be thinking about this from the beginning, because I can't tell you how often I speak to inventors who have 20,000 units in their garage and they can't sell it
right.
for a variety of reasons. One right. is they can't sell it because the retail price ended up being way too high because their production costs were way too high. So these are the things that you can find out ahead of time just by estimating.
Right, that's a good point. Another point, going back to the surveys and the focus studies, point to just throw in as well. Always make sure when you're trying to determine if people won't want to buy your product or not, always include pricing, right? I mean, it's one thing if I have a carpet cleaner and it's the best in the world and I tell you it can clean anything out of carpet, would you want it? Everyone would say yes. But if I said to you it costs $1,000 an ounce, you know, no deal. So you need to include pricing, don't you, when you do this kind of market studies?
Absolutely. Yeah. And not only that, I'm so glad you brought that up, because yes, I also like to ask the question, how much would you pay and how much would be too much? Because what if they say, I'll pay $10 for that, but you know, there's no way I'd pay $20. Well, then you've got a little bit of a range in between there too. So it's important to also find out what they absolutely would not pay for your product.
Tamara, on the subject of these next steps of getting your product commercialized, taking your invention to market, one thing that was not present when you were in your early stages of being a mom inventor and when Jeff and I were inventing products was this incredible advance in technology called 3D printing. Does that create opportunities for people to create a prototype inexpensively?
I am so excited about 3D printing that I wrote all about it in the book. Yes, my gosh, when we started out, there was nothing, and you had to, you know, keep your fingers and toes crossed. Once you did your CAD drawings, they'd go off to the factory, and you just, you know, you'd be praying at night that it's all going to turn out well. Now with 3D printing, it's so much more cost-effective, and you can find mistakes before you go into mass production. And so now you still need your 3D, the CAD drawings, but then you can, it plugs right into the 3D machine, and now they're becoming more and more accessible and available. I think Staples has it, some UPS stores have it. You can Google and find places that are near you. What a great way to test out if your product is going to work and to find the flaws in the design.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there's nothing like seeing it, Jeff. You know, we've worked with so many engineers, and they can see things in three dimension, and they can imagine things and how they all fit together and might work. But for the rest of us who are non-technical, there is nothing that replaces having a physical device or invention in front of you to then finesse it and improve it and make it work right.
No question about it. Listen, Rich and Tamara, can you stay with us a little longer? We're not going to let you go.
I want to tell you also about some really cool new materials that people can use. So when you're ready.
Well, you know what? Do that, and then we're going to go to a guest who's actually got an idea that they brought to market, and I'd love for you to stick on with us and add commentary and question the guest. But tell us what you're going to say first.
Well, it's also when you're selling. I find myself with now where buyers are actually asking me for green items or organic items. So keep that in mind as you're developing your products. What materials can you be using? Well, a lot of times we don't know. One woman in the book, she was a lawyer. She wanted to create yoga clothing. She left law, and she asked her factory, I want to do something green. What materials are possible for apparel? And it was incredible. They have a material where she now has a whole line of products made out of recycled plastic bottles that feels like silk. It's gorgeous. And her company's called Epiphany. And if you check it out, you'll see, and you just cannot believe that this clothing is made out of recycled plastic bottles. Well, of course, that has helped her get into retail stores because they can't believe it. And they're selling. She's doing amazingly well. So just keep that in mind.
The green angle or the organic angle is a great way to get in stores. Listen, I want to bring on a guest who's in business right now, making it work for himself. Nick Hyde, welcome to the show. You've been patient. We've had a great guest in Tamara giving us lots of good advice. Now we want to get you on and hear about your business. You have a product called the Smooshin. Do I have that right?
Yes, that's correct, the Smooshin.
Well, tell us about it, Nick.
Well, the Smooshin is a multi-use memory foam cushion designed to solve all of your comfort needs.
All of my comfort needs. And so when, for example, would I use a Smooshin?
Well, the Smooshin originally was designed to be a coffee table ottoman using your couch and coffee table, kind of creating an instant recliner. Well, as the product developed further, we decided to give it more uses. So now the Smooshin is ergonomically designed for lumbar support, to create an ottoman, to flip it over, use it as a lap desk, and it even has a holder for your remote control.
And tell us about your business. Is it working for you? You got sales. What stage of the business are you in right now?
Yeah, the business is doing real well. Thank you for asking. We started off about 4 years ago. First year, we probably moved, maybe 400 units. And last year, we did almost 20,000 units, and we're just scratching the surface.
That's amazing. You're in retail. Is that your distribution now? Is that where people buy it, or they buy it direct?
They buy it all sorts of ways. We're in catalogs. We have a website as well as in retail stores such as Hallmark or seasonal and big box retailers such as Bed Bath & Beyond. And we're currently working on creating a national advertised campaign to get into the DRTV world.
Nick, are there some things that jump out that you just, for anybody else who's got an idea out there, give us one major do or don't that you just absolutely feel strongly about that you'd like to share with the audience if they've got an idea for a product?
Well, I think a great piece of advice to give to an inventor or somebody with a new idea is not to fall in love with your idea. You need to listen to other people's feedback and be willing to adapt to your customers' needs. It's very important to really keep your ears to the ground and realize what's working for you and what's not, and be willing to change.
Tamara, you said it was key to be able to listen. I think this guy read your book. I mean, it's so true.
I haven't, but I will.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're right, Nick, and Tamara, to the point. I mean, I love that. You need to be passionate about your idea, but you can't get blinded by your own passion.
That's absolutely right. And in fact, that's I think one of the biggest stumbling blocks that inventors find themselves in is, you know, they just think everybody, I can't tell you how many people come to me and said, everybody in America is going to want my product. And I'm like, no, they're not. The question is, who is?
right. Who is? At what price point? Where do they want to buy it? Those are the details. Those are the differences between, I mean, so many good ideas don't make it just because we either, you know, A, just are too enamored with our idea. We don't do all the little minutiae that we need to cover in order to really make it work. But I love that about listening. You know, you really do need to be sober about your idea, clear about what you want to achieve, but listen to the feedback you're getting and adapt and pivot as required in order to really make it go, even if you have to let go of some of the emotional pieces that you're really attached to. Look, it's not about being in love with your idea. It's about making it work for you financially as a business. So great advice, Nick. Listen, we wish you continued great luck. Quickly, tell us, if someone wants to buy the Smooshin, how do they get it?
Well, it's real easy. You just go to smooshin.com, smooshin.com, and I'm actually offering a 25% discount for all of your listeners. So just enter the promo code StartupNation.
I love it.
You get onto this site, and you can get 25% off your order. We'd love to have your business.
Okay, keep it rocking, Nick. Thanks so much. And Tamara, wow, what an amazing guest. We're going to have you back. We could go on and on. We only have an hour in this show. I wish we had 10. But we'd love to have you back if you're willing.
So much, I'd love to.
All right, and listen, stick with us on Startup Nation Radio. We're going to have another great business idea, actually two of them, that you'll be able to hear about. So you can learn from that and make it work for you too. Stick with us on Startup Nation Radio.
It's Startup Nation on WJR.
Easy to follow instructions on achieving your dream.
By taking action now.
Here's Jeff Sloan.
Okay, welcome back to Startup Nation Radio. Rich, great show.
Yes.
Great show. Wow, what amazing stuff. I mean, I've got notes all over here. Tamara was just incredible, wasn't she?
She really was. And, you know, I think part of the reason why you're taking notes and I'm really tracking what Tamara contributed to this hour is that we love this stuff. We love innovating. We love the creative process. We love commercializing inventions. It's just really, really exciting stuff. And, you know, as kids, I remember Mom would crack open that New York Times on Mondays and read from the patent section to inspire you, me, and our sister Julie and encourage us to be innovators. And that's what you can do here in America. It's incredible.
That's right. A little inspiration, a little bit of capability, drive, focus. Listen, we had an invention of our own and actually ended up on the New York Times Monday section. We read it back to her.
So there you go.
Can't beat that. Today's show brought to you by Walsh College, Comerica Bank, and Pappas Financial. Well, Rich, we've been focusing on inventions, really around product ideas, but there's also businesses you can create in the service sector. We've got, I mean, we kind of themed this wacky business ideas, you know, who's kidding who, right? I mean, some of these wacky business ideas do the best, amazingly, and of course, that's the whole point of the show. But we've got our next guest who has made it big as a psychic astrologer. Her name is Solaris. That's it, just Solaris. And Solaris is making it big as a psychic and making it big in business. So, Solaris, welcome to Startup Nation Radio.
Thank you so much. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. Did you set out to be an entrepreneur? Did you set out to be a psychic, which was an accidental entrepreneur? How did it happen?
I actually did not at all want to go into having my own business at all because it was scary for me to not have the security of a paycheck. But when I was 24, I got tutored in astrology, and I realized that it was extremely accurate, and everybody was asking me for readings. And so I was in love with this guy, and he was traveling all around, and I wanted to do something that allowed me the ability to travel that I could do from anywhere. And I thought, well, what about doing astrology readings for people? I can do that from anywhere. So that's how I came up with that idea.
Incredible.
That's so cool. And you do tarot card reading as well, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And so, I know, Rich, you want to spend this whole segment asking questions of Solaris about your future, I'm sure.
Well,
as do
I had a tarot card reading, Jeff. This
really?
Is a little known fact, yes. And I received three cards, the Eight Swords, the Star, and the Wheel of Fortune. Does that mean anything to you?
Yes. Polaris? The Eight of Swords represents that you're not seeing all the opportunities in front of you because you feel trapped. But in the Eight of Swords card, the person that looks like they're restrained is actually not restricted by their binds. And so it's that you can just walk forward at any time towards the star, which is your destiny, which obviously being on the show, it's about fame and, you know, being able to be recognized for the great things you do. And then the Wheel of Fortune card is great financial abundance. So it's about looking at all the avenues so you can go into your fame and financial abundance.
Jeff, I think we have an expert on the line.
you like that, huh, Rich?
Yeah, I like what she said. And now, yeah. Solaris, how, do you have to tell people what they want to hear, or are you also sometimes the bearer of bad news?
Sometimes I'm the bearer of bad news, but usually they know coming in what they want to ask about. Like if a woman comes in and she really wants to know if her husband is cheating on her, she'll probably have a pretty good idea beforehand. She just needs to hear it confirmed. But at the same time, though, you know, it is sometimes a little bit of bad news, it depending on what they're asking for. But I usually try to give a really positive empowerment to it, so at least they'll know what information and choices they have in front of them, and so they can pick the best path for them that makes them have the best outcome.
So
now, Jeff, something I'm really curious about
with
Solaris is that she was, if you will, this reluctant entrepreneur. And Solaris, you obviously had a skill, and you were able to use the stars and use the tarot cards to excite people and give them, if you will, value.
Of course, Rich, she had an advantage. She already knew it was going to work. So.
Yes, yep. Yep, right. She was way ahead because she did her own tarot card reading. But the transition you had to go through was to actually start charging people for this. To be an entrepreneur, you got to make money. Was that difficult?
It was really hard because, I mean, I did this at 24 years old. I'm this kid just out of college, basically, and I had no idea why anybody, like, why would 60-year-old women want to pay a 24-year-old kid, you know, to give them advice or to, you know, predict things for them? And so it was a big journey for me in regards to self-esteem. So I had to build that up. I always knew the accuracy was there, but I didn't know why they would want to pay me. You know, like, why would they want me to help them?
Sure.
And so now, is this a full-time thing for you now, Solaris?
Yes, now it's a full-time thing. I've been doing it for the last 10 years.
So this is your business.
Now I'm at a point in the journey where it's self-sustaining, which is good, but it was a struggle for a very long time.
And as most of your, you know, when you break down business, Rich and I always say business is relatively simple. It's the execution that's hard, but the principles are generally the same across the world's biggest businesses all the way on down to the lemonade stand. So, you know, you've got to think about things like marketing. You've got to attract business. So how do you do that?
Well, I'm really fortunate, actually, because a lot of my clients are the ones that have word of mouth.
Word of mouth, right.
I have
testimonial.
Other things, like, you know. Yeah. Oh, sorry, what?
I was just saying testimonial is probably really powerful for you. You know, one person word of mouth saying another, she's amazing. Yeah.
That's huge. Yeah, word of mouth is really strong because usually when people get a reading, they see how accurate it is, and then they tell all their friends, and then all their friends want readings. Like, I'll do an astrology party, or I'll do a party and, you know, I'll go to a party and give readings to everybody. And there's, like, a line out the door, and, you know, they should be dancing or something, but they just want readings. Like, it's pretty crazy. But so word of mouth is the biggest thing, and I found that more effective than social media, radio shows, TV. Like, I have my own radio show, and I don't get too many readings from that. It's all from clients, just telling other people.
So that word of mouth thing can be so incredibly powerful. What about the internet? Are you exposing yourself to a broader audience that way?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely use the internet, like Facebook and Twitter. That's something that's really powerful. And then my own website, because I have a lot of different videos of different shows that I've been on, and you know my own radio show, which is through the internet. So, and then this show, for instance. So the internet is a very powerful tool.
Incredible. Speaking of the internet, how does people find you if they want to contact you for your service?
They can go on my website. It's fairyastrology.com, or you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/Solaris Fairy Astrology.
All right, right on. Well, congratulations for your success. Rich, wow, what a great show. Great having you on, of course, as always.
Yes, and I predict in the cards are more great Startup Nation radio shows ahead.
I hope so. And Solaris, I'm going to talk to you off air in just a minute. I want to make sure of that before I make this next huge investment. Listen, you stick with us on Startup Nation Radio. We'll be back next week with another great show for you.